Hello everyone, this is Bob Fox from greedandmoney.com, and today is again my privilege to have Glenn Neely, the expert in Wei analysis, Ali Wei and Neil Wei, being here with me today. Today we'd like to talk about what type of chart and data are best for trading and Wei analysis. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, you're fairly clear. Well, a lot of times people have problem with Wei analysis because most software that is in the market today, the charting package isn't showing the type of chart that is suitable for Wei analysis.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty much impossible to find.
Yeah, and there's a few type of chart, you know, the line chart, the bar chart, and the weight chart. Is there any way you can share with the audience some of the major difference between those three?
Well, let me just say right off the bat that the primary reason that I've been able to discover all the new things that I discovered in my book, Mastering Ali Wave, the things I was able to discover about wave theory were because I demanded a very specific kind of chart created from a very specific kind of data. And if you don't incorporate that type of chart and type of data, then you're not going to be able to see the things that I talked about in my book. Most people, just from simplicity or for simplicity's sake and ease of use, just tend to use bar charts, and they tend to use futures data if they're trading futures markets. Obviously, if they're trading stocks, there is no such thing as futures stock data. There's just the actual stock trading. Excuse me. But the type of data that you use and the type of chart you use is going to greatly impact whether you can do good wave analysis or not, whether you can do good trading analysis or not. And so, you know, it took me many years to figure this out, but they're primarily three major categories of charts, and two of them have been around forever, and wave charts sort of began with the introduction of my book, Mastering Ali Wave, in 1990. I technically was writing about it in 1987, but officially it became, you know, public knowledge in 1990. A line chart, most line charts I've seen are constructed from either futures or cash data, and they're generally the close of one bar to the next, so it's just showing the close of each market's bar on a daily or weekly or hourly basis over time. Sometimes you might have a line chart created just from the highs or just from the lows or both potentially, or maybe an average of the high and low, but generally it's just the close of each bar. Now, that of course leaves out a lot of information. I mean, market can go really high and really low before it gets to its close, so if you're only using the close, you may miss get a very inaccurate representation of reality. So a line chart, of all the charts that I work with, distorts reality the most and provides the least useful information. Bar charts are where you have the high and low vertically occurring at the same point in time. And of course, this is a distortion of reality because never does the high and low occur at the same point in time. So a bar chart presents a type of representation, a partial reality representation, but it's not completely accurate. It can be on a futures basis or a cash basis, but it's generally where the high and the low are covered in between those two with a solid black or solid white line, and then the close and the open are separately marked to the right or the left. A wave chart is my construct, where you're actually plotting the highs and the lows of a market in the order they actually occurred in real time. So if the high occurs first, then you're going to plot that first. If the low occurs first, you plot that first, and then you plot the other one second. And you connect them not with a vertical line, but with a diagonal line showing the movement from the high to the low or the low to the high, showing which occurred first. And then when you get to the next bar or the next day or the next week, then you figure out which one came first in that time frame, and you connect them in the sequence they occurred with a straight line, and you connect the current bars high and low backwards in time to the previous bars higher low. So let's say that the previous day's low came second. Well, you draw a line from that second low to the point that came first the next day. So sometimes you might be going from a low to a low or from a low to a high as you connect one day to the next or one bar to the next. And that creates a completely different type of chart that shows sort of the fluid motion of a market. And then when you see one, you can see it clearly starts to reveal wave patterns. Bar charts don't really reveal wave patterns well. Wave charts completely provide a very accurate representation of the wave movement of a market and allows for much better wave analysis as a result.
And I think the major difference is the order of the event that actually happened and the strong emphasis on time, which in some way, for most reader that has been reading your analysis, knows that time is something that you pay a lot of attention to when you provide your recommendations for trading strategies.
Yeah, when you look at a bar, you never know which came first, the high or the low. A wave chart makes it very clear immediately.
Right. Okay, let's move on to the next segment of the interview that you mentioned briefly in the beginning, the difference between future and the cash data. For some readers here, perhaps they are not clear on that, since some of them might only be trading equities and ETFs. Can you share with our viewers, some of the major difference between future and cash data?
Okay, well, cash data is generally the currently recognized real-world value, exchange value for any commodity or product that you're trying to buy or sell. So, there'd be a cash price for gold. That would be what you can buy or sell gold at today in the real world from a broker or a dealer or some wholesaler. Futures data is created by futures contracts, which are future-oriented devices generally used or initially designed to be used for hedging. So if we go way back into the agricultural era before they had S&P contracts and Forex and futures contracts for currencies and so forth, if you go way back just to agricultural contracts, those futures contracts were designed to protect the farmer from loss. So he knew when he planted his crop, he could then sell a futures contract so he would know what price he would be selling his corn or wheat or soybeans in the future, so that he would know exactly how much it cost to plant and how much he'd be selling it for in the future, and he would know exactly the profit he was going to make, and then that sort of locked in his profit, and he wouldn't have to worry about the wild fluctuations of the market over time if there was a drought or if there was an excess amount of inventory. So that was automatically a higher price because they were looking to sell it at a higher price in the future, and over time that futures contract would deteriorate toward the cash price. So for example, in the gold market, the difference between the futures and the cash is approximately about $20 to $30 per month over time. At least in the past when I studied this, it's been a long time since I've looked at this, but in the past, the approximate loss in value is, I think, about $1 per day or $0.50 per day over time in a gold contract. So the same thing would happen in an agricultural market. If they were planting corn, current price was, I don't know what corn goes for, but let's say it's $10 a bushel, and they would sell it for $12 in the futures markets, then they would know they'd make $2 per bushel, and that would be locked in, and it didn't matter what happened to the price afterward, because if the price of their actual crop went way up, they would lose money on their futures contract, which would be equal to the money that they're making in the actual cash market. And if the price went down, then they would make up for the loss in the futures contract and they would lose it in the actual cash market. So the net result is they would make the same amount of money no matter what happened to price after that.
Right.
So data always deteriorates with time. So no matter where it starts, it eventually deteriorates to some future point in price which will converge toward the cash market. So there's always a difference initially in any agricultural market, and in most futures markets. There are a few exceptions. Currencies don't tend to have much of a deteriorating effect because there's no risk of deteriorating of value. Like if you store corn over time, it will eventually be worthless, so that you don't have those problems with currency markets. But generally speaking, most futures markets have a deterioration effect and they converge toward the cash market. So the cash market is the true real-world current value. Futures prices are the expected future value down the road, and they converge toward the cash over time. So that automatically means that with futures data, you have generally a downward distortion in value, whereas cash data, you don't.
Right. In fact, being a trader for some time now, I actually used to trade some eggs and some interest rate products, currencies. Many of those has even a different kind of rollover, like currency and equities, they roll over every 3 months. And
right.
Some of the ag product actually roll over every month or every other month.
Right, that's all.
So it's fairly challenging to keep up with, to use the future data to do the weigh analysis, while the cash data is a straight line or a time-wise. Go ahead.
For the first few years I was in the business, it was a nightmare because I didn't quite understand all these issues and how to deal with it. And most futures service providers provide some kind of formula that tries to connect one futures contract to the next, and they do some kind of mathematical manipulation to create a current real-world price from the futures price. And so you're never actually dealing with what is really the current real price, and it's just a very big problem, and it's something that plagued me for quite some time until I realized that cash data solved all those problems.
Yeah, and there's a few times even just doing the data analysis that I see, the ES already making higher high while the cash has not made higher high yet, because the data has been, a few months old or a few weeks old. And to do the weigh analysis, sometimes those higher high or lower low are key components of finding out what kind of structure of the weigh supposed to present to you. And that's where the future data potentially create a problem. Is that correct, Glenn?
The biggest problem is, let's say, if you're looking at the gold market and the June contract is coming to an end, it's expiring, and then all of a sudden it switches to August or October, you might see a $5 or $10 jump in the value all of a sudden on your chart. If you try to connect the June to the August or the June to the October, October to December contracts, you'll see an immediate $5 to $10 jump in value, which is a distortion of reality. So it makes it so you can't really trust what you're looking at.
Right. That's exactly right. So, well, since we kind of discussed the various type of charts and a couple, different type of data, future and cash, so what type of chart that's best for trading and forecasting, Glenn?
Well, if we go back to the line charts, which we mentioned first, line charts, I think, are pretty much useless in any kind of analysis because there's too much distortion of reality. You're missing too much of what occurred to make good decisions. So unless you're trading really long-term, line charts should be avoided. And I don't think this should be used for either wave analysis or trading. Now, if you're trading a futures market, I think futures-based bar charts are the best environment, the best vehicle for trading futures markets, because you're going to be looking at, and you want it to be a current contract, not a manipulated or adjusted contract to try to connect one contract month to the next. But I'd look at just say the June contract, or just purely the October contract or the September contract, and not merge them together with any other futures contract. And those are best, I think, for futures trading, because you'll be looking at the actual highs and lows and where you really can put a stop and count on it being a potentially good stop or a good entry and good targets. Channeling will be proper for that particular market in that particular time frame. When I'm trading futures, I look at just futures charts, and I look at just the current contract month. I don't merge contracts together. Now, when it comes to forecasting, that's a whole different world, because forecasting requires, at least for wave theory, a very long string of completely accurate non-ending data. And the only way you can get that is to use cache data. And the only way you can create good wave chart or charts for wave analysis is to create what I call wave charts, which is that sequencing of the highs and lows in the order they occurred in real time. So if you're using a cache chart with a cache chart plotted in a wave fashion with the highs and lows in order, that provides the best environment for forecasting markets. And a lot of people, especially beginners, generally assume that forecasting and trading are the same thing, and they're two entirely different things. When it comes to trading, trading is much more about where you're going to enter, where you're going to put your stops, how you're going to move your stops, how you're going to get your risk to zero as quickly as you can, how you try to lock in profits when possible. The focus is on what you should be doing at any moment in time to try to protect your capital and maybe enhance your return over time. When it comes to forecasting, that's an entirely different thing where you're going to have to use a different type of process. In this case, I think wave theory is best at the forecasting game. So you're going to use a different type of theory and approach to predict what's going to happen in the future, but what's going to happen in the future is very separate from what you should be doing as a trader to protect your capital. So in my mind, those are totally different things.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it's a conversation I constantly have with my own subscribers in my own chat room that, many of them always ask me why I think the market is going. And at the end of the day, especially the traders I have, are all day traders, so it's extremely short term. I basically tell them just don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week or later this week. Just focus on today, and your goal is to achieve your daily objective or whatever the percentage you try to make. And then also you have daily stop and follow that, and you just do the break building every day, and don't worry about the forecasting. If you hit something good, then good, great. But the key thing is just do it like a turtle and quit being a rabbit or try to find a home run hit and try to hit that home run. And so it's very different things between trading and forecasting. I think they're both are important, and that's why, personally I use your servers to hopefully guide me to see, where's the major trend of the market based on the wave analysis, but the intraday trading, I base on my rule every day, the profit target as well as the stops to manage my trading.
Yeah, wave analysis is best when you're approaching the end of a major trend. Then it can be extremely useful in knowing that a major turn is occurring and you don't continue to try to trade with the trend because it's coming to an end and you're preparing to go in a new direction. But way far from the top or the bottom of a trend, wave analysis is not that useful for trading at all. It becomes almost counterproductive.
Right. And it's also interesting that you mentioned the future-based bar chart, the best for trading future market. In some way, it makes perfect sense from your standpoint of view. It also makes sense is because if you ever going to trade future, it's so highly leveraged anyway. And most likely, you don't really need to analyze 6 months or a year worth of data to come up with a decision to make trades. So, for instance, ES, which is the S&P 500, contract, you basically, 3 months of data is plenty for you to do a wave analysis or something for some kind of analysis for trading sake. What you say, the future-based bar chart are the best for trading.
Trading should, you can't depend on highs and lows of a cash market to tell you where to put your future stops or vice versa. So when it comes to trading futures markets, you want to use the actual real futures contract to decide where to place stops, because generally stops are best placed above previous highs and lows of previous bars, but you have to know which bar to pick based on whatever analysis you're using.
Sure. Okay, well, Glenn, let's move on to why people have so much trouble with wave analysis. I think you kind of touched on a little bit when you explained the different types of charts. Would you mind going a little bit in depth about that?
Okay, well, the primary problem is that cache data is not, I mean, it's more available now than it's been in the past because of computer technology and stuff, but it still is not readily available. And most services still, if you're in the futures market, is providing futures data in a bar chart kind of fashion. So getting cache data is the first goal, you know, to improving your wave analysis, and then making sure that the data is accurate and you're plotting those highs and lows in the order they occurred. That's the crucial first step and the primary reason why most people have so much trouble with their wave analysis, because they're not using cache data. And then, of course, they're not plotting those highs and lows in order, because frequently they don't even know which came first or second, because a lot of cache data services don't tell you. They're just, you know, it's just a bar, or it's just a dot for one price for the day, and you really don't have any idea what the range is for the day. Because of this problem, until it's been less than maybe 5, 6, 7 years, until this decade, for the first 20 to 25 years of my entire career, I unfortunately had to plot all my charts by hand because there was no cache data service that plotted the data in the order that the data occurred in real time on a cache basis. So it was quite tedious, but again, it's because I went to that trouble every single day, even during vacations and everything. I still had to every day go through and find out which came first. I'd look at a five-minute cache chart and figure out if the high came first or low came first and put the data in and plot it by hand. I did that for virtually my entire career. And it was from that day-to-day hands-on process that I was able to make all the additional new discoveries that I've made about wave theory. And it's clear to me now after doing that that only by using cache data and only by plotting the data in the order that the highs and lows occurred can you really truly create good wave analysis that's, for the most part, consistently accurate or accurate for long periods of time and can be relied upon. I'm sure you've seen services where they're constantly changing their counts, constantly turning from bullish to bearish. You know, things, their labeling's already always moving all around, or they have, you know, 5 or 10 alternate scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. And most of them are the, you know, alleyway conditioners, which
yeah,
obviously, because you have discovered so many other things that, you know, give a lot more clear, and, you know, that's where the neo-way comes from, so.
Yeah, if you want to consider at least that a theory has some scientific basis, well, then there's no way you can have 5 or 10 scenarios, some bullish and some bearish. You can't constantly be changing your counts and your perspective. And I mean, that's not science. That's just craziness to me. So
yeah,
the only way you can avoid all that is by getting cache data and plotting the highs and lows in order and then following a very rigid set of rules in the application of the theory to charts, which, unfortunately, the original Elliott wave theory was missing a lot. There was a lot of patterns that weren't discussed because R. and Elliott hadn't seen them in his lifetime. There was a lot of missing logic from the theory, which NeoWave introduced to wave analysis. The idea of self-confirmation, self-defining price action, and so forth are all things that didn't exist before that dramatically improved the field of wave analysis and make it much more scientific than it was before. So, you know, that was what I experienced and how I came about doing my charts by hand, because I finally realized that was the only way to do it and that it had to be cache data. And then once I did that, then all of a sudden my wave analysis started becoming much more stable. My forecast became much more one-directional, not, you know, with multiple scenarios and multiple counts. So this process substantially improves the wave analysis business, you might say.
Sure. So out of all the hard work and frustration for 25 years of plotting data by hand, Glenn, recently you and your company has just come out with a new service, the NeoWay Cache Data Service. Would you share with all the readers what that service is about and what might be used to improve their trading and their forecasting if they do subscribe to that?
Well, due to my incredible frustration of having to do this by hand for 25 years, I finally came across a programmer in Germany who began working with me on my Neely River project, which is programmed inside of TradeStation. But over time, I realized he was a really good programmer and he could do lots of things that most programmers couldn't. And so I just brought up the idea, you know, would it be possible to automate the collection of cache data in an Excel kind of spreadsheet format where it would plot the charts, you know, very nicely and professionally and constantly extract the data and plot it on a daily, weekly, monthly, and 6 monthly kind of basis. And so we started that process probably about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a lot of, you know, trial and error, and it slowly grew and became more and more automated. And so now finally, for any of the people listening who get my any of my services, either the trading service or the forecasting service, the charts in that service have been created using my cache data service collection technology for at least the last 5, 6, 7 years. And that's why my charts look so, you know, clean, and they are consistent. There's not any deterioration in value. They're a totally different kind of chart than you see anywhere else because they're actually wave charts, not bar charts. So this data collection process that plots not only collects the cache data but plots it in the right order allows me to have very clean, very accurate, very reliable cache charts for all of my services that I provide to the public. And just, I don't know, it's been only a few months, I think, since we decided to turn what was basically a private internal system for collecting data and creating charts to make really nice charts for my services, decided to actually make this a publicly usable service or downloadable service off of our website. And so that's when we created the NeoWave Cache Data Service. And now it does give anyone who wants to do good wave analysis or has the need for long-term accurate cache data, it allows them to actually access it without having to do this by hand because there is really no other way until this service. I don't know of any service in the world that does what this service does. And so I think it's very unique and it really provides really nice looking charts. Have you, I assume you've seen them, right?
Yes, I have. In fact, I have all four S&P chart open right now. You know, you have the daily, you have the weekly, you have the monthly, and you have the 6 month, which is a lot longer term.
You already get the service?
Say that again?
You already get the cache data service?
Okay.
So, do you know of any service? Have you ever seen charts that are done the way my charts are done?
No, I have not. Obviously, to be honest with you, the first time when I subscribed your servers, I actually saw the chart that's on your forecasting or trading servers were just line charts. Because, you know, some of the line chart looks the same, it's just lines, but
Right.
obviously it's a huge difference between wave chart and line chart. And
A chart will be a lot less volatile than a wave chart. A wave chart is a lot more volatile because it shows the highs and the lows, not just the close.
yes. So I'm looking at them, and also inside has some of the alternative count that, you know, you might think that might happen, which is only just one or two. That's also
Yeah, well,
good to at least
those are
see.
the accounts that I don't provide to the public who subscribe to my services. I basically look through all the different possible scenarios, which a lot of them are just left over time, but I just go through different time frames and mark all these different charts with what I think is a proper wave structure. And then after analyzing all of them, I apply some NeoWave concepts of how you reduce scenarios down to one and how you can eliminate scenarios that aren't in agreement with the larger trend and all these different techniques that NeoWave involves. So I narrow it down to just one scenario, and it's through this process that is sort of invisible to the public until this service became available. It's through this process that I'm able to always have just one scenario for all of my trading services, which I would be willing to guess I'm probably the only wave analysis service in the world that only has always just one wave count.
Yeah.
The market.
Yeah, and in fact, it's interesting to see how you, in some way, by subscribing to this service, you actually get a glimpse on how you actually work to do the wave analysis. Because,
right.
You know, there's a time frame, yeah. There's, which is daily and all the way to up to 6 months data.
Yeah, the service is not for, you know, people who want to just know what I think is going to happen in the market. This service is much more for those who want to do their own wave analysis and learn how to do good wave analysis using the proper kind of charts, the proper kind of data, plotted the proper way. And so it allows you to experiment with counts on your own and then see what I'm thinking. So it's a much more sort of behind-the-scenes, educational, deep educational kind of service than I've ever offered before.
Right. So, yes. Well, Glenn, I really appreciate your time today. Do you have anything to add in terms of this conversation regarding, you know, the type of chart and data that's best for trading and wave analysis?
No, I think we pretty much covered it, and I appreciate you taking the time to interview me today about this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Glenn, and looking forward to chat with you again next time regarding trading and forecasting. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny, was I supposed to call you Johnny?